Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It stinks. I don't want to listen to this garbage. I mean, I know it's Rock and Roll Friday, but it didn't get me. Sorry, the years have gone by. We've got the Islamo-Nazi fascists from hell, the Untermenschen, raging across the globe, and we have a liar in the White House who refuses to call them what they are. The vicious, pedantic academic establishment will get us all killed. Welcome to the Savage Nation this Friday. How's that for an opening? This has been a very good week on the Savage Nation. You made it to Friday. You should congratulate yourself. I want to show you how much material I cover on an average show. Here is a slight summary of what we've done this week on this show and compare it to any other talk radio show in history. Tell me what other show in history could cover as many topics with as much detail and as much interest as I. Monday, why I didn't watch the Super Bowl. A typical Savage Saturday. Transgender illegals, Red Guards, presidential candidates, the destruction of the homeland, destruction of the military, Obama undermining Israeli elections, building up a war with Russia, Obama building a war with China, the measles outbreak as a result of him flooding America with diseased illegals, taxing for security, borders, language and culture, mood swings are normal, treating bipolar people, the UN's silence on Islamists, Obama's destruction of the military. Tuesday, the whole day was about setting the Jordanian pilot alive on fire while he was alive in a cage, and the virtual silence from the progressive vermin. Wednesday on the Savage Nation, we talked about vaccines, heroin enemas, and administration in denial, Conrad Hilton plane madness, being a peasant, City University of New York eliminating salutations called men and women, Mr. and Mrs. I read you some stories from childhood, a nymphomaniac in Alley Pond Park and Dead Man's Pants. That was Wednesday already. Yesterday, we talked about the Obama prayer breakfast where he smeared Christianity. We talked about Brian Williams' nightmarish lies. I explained the Red Brigades again. I told you about the 2016 presidential candidates and who I would pick right now. I discussed the Bible, Torah, and Quran. I talked about Democrats who pretended to be for Israel, disrespecting Netanyahu, including Jewish Democrats who are now suddenly anti-Jewish. I talked about the meddling Pope coming to address Congress and how it is inappropriate, and there is a wall separating church and state, as there should be a border separating us from Mexico. That was all in one week on the Savage Nation. Now, all of you probably remember one thing I did all week, which is I said it's called ISIS for a reason. It's called the Islamic State for a reason. And the reason Obama won't even refer to it as ISIS anymore but calls it an organization is because the I word, Islam. It's not crisis because it's not Christian setting prisoners on fire while they're alive. It's not JISIS because it's not Jews setting prisoners on fire while they're alive. It's not BISIS because it's not Buddhists setting prisoners on fire while they're alive. And it's not HISIS because it's not Hindus setting prisoners on fire when they're alive. This is not a laughing matter. We have a vicious, psychotic, Hitlerian movement that has arisen as a result of the presidents having created a vacuum of power in Iraq. The Neville Chamberlain syndrome is alive and well in Hussein Obama. And meanwhile, the vicious, pedantic academic running America chooses to project his vitriol not at the Islamo-fascists, but at the Tea Party. You understand why we're having trouble today? So that's those are some of the topics. There are many others, and you'll probably want to chime in on all of these, right? I mean, you know, some of them are still good. They're pretty good. The biggest story of the week, though, for me, I found this morning, a therapy kangaroo was kicked out of a Wisconsin McDonald's. That's right. This therapy animal thing is such a big crock of garbage, it's hard to believe. You've got people using all sorts of animals now under the guy. It started with a nice idea. We all know about seeing eye dogs, and everybody supports that, don't we? Who would not support a seeing eye dog? I mean, I gave money to that for years. Poor people who are blind and need a dog. They then developed into therapy animals. All right, so you take a small pet somewhere and it doesn't bark, it doesn't crap or pee. Okay, fine. Doesn't really bother me. It's very French and all that. It's very sophisticated. And as you well know, it's done a lot for the French to be that sophisticated. Liberté, égalité, fraternité. The French are still living on the fumes of Napoleon, but that's okay. He did some great things, and they're still living on it. Frankly, I don't know what the French have done for the last 150 years. Well, 100 years, I would say. Nevertheless, now it's developed into the therapy animals racket. So people bring in mice, rats. This woman brought a kangaroo into a McDonald's in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, and she's told to leave. But she said it's her support kangaroo. They told her to leave the restaurant after a customer complained about Jimmy, the 8-month-old kangaroo she had sitting in an infant car seat. She explained that the kangaroo is considered a therapy animal and that she has a doctor's note of approval. But she was still asked to leave by a mean police officer who told her a customer had said it wasn't appropriate or safe to have the kangaroo in the restaurant. There's nothing you could say about this. I mean, I wish her luck. I have nothing against... I'm not a kangarooist. I want to tell you that, Robert. I have never met a kangaroo I didn't find fond. I have not been fond of. But I am not a kangarooist in any way, and I don't want a kangaroo imam to come after me for being kangarooist. Okay, a kangaroo rabbi. How's that? Does that work? Okay, a kangaroo priest. I don't want a kangaroo priest to come after me. Anyway, those are some of the topics. Now, the best soundbite of the week you haven't heard yet. It's coming now. It's short. And it's going to be very fast. This is the lunatic, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, perhaps the most vicious justice in American history, who never, ever, ever should have been permitted on the U.S. Supreme Court, but for the Republicans who have just done it again with Lynch. And it was the same gang of Republican sellouts who did this to us with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, namely Orrin Hatch, who are doing it to us again with this monster from New York, Lynch. Listen to what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said when she was asked, when will there be enough women on the Supreme Court?
People ask me sometimes, when do you think it will be enough? When will there be enough women on the court? And my answer is, when there are nine.
When there are nine. You think she's kidding, don't you? Do you know how fanatic these people are? When will there be enough Muslims in America, Mr. Obama? When there are 300 million? When will there be enough X in the universities? Answer the question, when everybody is this, everybody is that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The how sick these people really are? Anyway, what can I tell you? You think I don't like sweetness and quietude? Do you think that I don't like a world of quietude and sweetness? You're mistaken. I have that 21 hours a day, by and large. And then I go on the radio and I rage against the dying of the light. Now, why do I rage against the dying of the light? For those of you who know, you're Dylan Thomas. Why do I rage against the dying of the light? Why do I try to capture that beam of light that's still left, that emanates from that document of documents? Why, oh, why do I try to capture that ray of light? Now, I never talk about it. Those who talk about things the most usually are phony. But I actually carry around the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. I actually have a pocket version in my hand, which I've carried around for a long time. Copyright 1998 by the Cato Institute. And I look today at Section 8, and I never talk about it because I think it's pedantic to do so. Over and over again, you can go crazy. It's like vomitosis. But I was reading Section 8 of the Constitution, and some of the things in there, well, you know about, to coin money, right, all of that, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization, interesting, to establish post offices and post roads, okay, to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. That's intriguing, by the way, as someone with many copyrights. To constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. To declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. To raise and support armies. Now, this is a big one. But no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. I'll bet you guys didn't know that. You didn't know that, Robert, did you? The Constitution says in Article 8, the Constitution in Section 8, it says, to raise and support armies, that's the Congress's job, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years to provide and maintain a navy, blah, 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 to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. Now, that's interesting. You notice that Section 8 has a difference in wording between armies and militias. Now, this goes to the whole Second Amendment. Many of you are mistaken in your thought that, well, the Second Amendment really only applies for guns for the militias, merely means the army. See, this proves beyond a reasonable doubt, and it took someone like me to actually do it, someone who never boasts about my knowledge, to finally break through that dam of lies. They say, the leftists who want to seize your guns, and by the way, Obama's not through yet with his radical Alinsky agenda. Believe me, he'll go after guns in the next 6 months to a year. Mark my words. You mark my words and see what him and Blumenthal and the other crackpots do on the left. Instead of taking on ISIS, they're taking on Russia. I know how that's going to end, by the way. Not well for us. But nevertheless, they declare that the Constitution says that guns, you know, are illegal. They're only for the military. That's the left's continuous refrain, right? Well, they're wrong. That's not what Article 2 says. It's not what it says at all. It's for the people to protect themselves, if you look at it carefully. Now, how do I prove that? Well, you look at the rest of the U.S. Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and what it says is what I just said to you, right? It says to raise and support armies in 8. Okay, so armies is one word. And then, down below it says, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. So there's a difference defined between armies and the militia, correct? So what is the army and what is the militia? Well, we know what the military is. That's the army, right? Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. That's the army. So what is the militia? You are the militia. We are the militia. That's why we're allowed to have guns. Do you understand that or not? That's the end of the story. And I wanted to show you that because I was, I thought it was interesting. It's very interesting to me to look through this as someone who's carried it around with me for quite a while and never boasts about it. Because I found something out. The people with the most money never talk about their money. And that sort of applies to this as well, right? I mean, do I have to finish the sentence? All right, we now go to unprotected talk. No one else in radio does this. It was done from time to time. By weekend show hosts and such, but nobody on a daily national show dares do this. And I do it for one reason. It's more interesting to me than getting locked into one topic for an hour. It's more interesting to me. I don't know whether a guy is going to call or a woman's going to call who's smart or a dummy, slow or fast, right? And I know you want to see what's going to happen, and you want to see how quickly I can respond to somebody. Because after all, that's the whole nature of show business. It's the nature of judging the quickness of mind. And it's fun. It's why the 3 hours are going by so fast now. So I have no open lines. That's another thing to know. We have been so sold out with callers. I apologize in advance if you can no longer get through the show. The one thing I will do is I'll hang up on regulars almost immediately. That's a death. It's a death knell for radio. You hear them on every other show. Hi, this is Buzz from Virginia. Yeah, okay. Like, he's, you know, who wants to hear it every day, the same thing? So if I detect that you're somebody changing your voice, I give you a hang-up job. That's it. You just hung up on. It's my prerogative. I'm not going to bore anyone with the same thing every day. Hey, Mike, I want you to know that you're the greatest thing since the Sistine Chapel and Jesus loves you. Bingo. Goodbye. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I think it's where a lot of people became gay was from the songs like this. No, because nobody could ever live up to this level of romanticism. Listen to this. I mean, what woman actually thinks of a man like that after the age of six? All right, break that record. Let's cut that one out of the entire repertoire. I'm starting to not like any of this rock and roll ever again. Let me try one more. And if I don't like this, I'm going to move to heavy metal all over again. I'm going to do Rammstein and whatever. I don't even want any new heavy metal. Because even the heavy metal has become aluminum over the last few years. It's gone from like heavy metal, like lead and mercury, it's become aluminum metal. You know, it's all lighter heavy metal. That's heavy metal. Or something. Got that nice German sound to it. They're trying to stand up to the illegal aliens in their country. They've been called Nazis because they love Germany. You hear this? Oh, you know where that leads, to the ovens. No, actually, the other way around leads to the ovens. You let the illegals run over your country, they'll put you in the ovens, you moron. Turn that up again. Now I'm really going to get worked up. Anything in German is Nazi. To a liberal from New York, they're calling the ACLU listening to this. Again, I'm out of time. What's the da-da-da-da-da-da-da? I'm just getting up there. I'm just getting myself off the ground. I haven't even reached cruise altitude yet, and I have to take a damn break. What's the da-da-da-da-da? Another break now. How do I live under such pressure? I am not even at 4,000 feet yet. And already, already the 12:30 break now. All right, that's, I have to live with it. That's the world I live in.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Anyway, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Drag racing used to be a lot of fun at night. The smell of the burnt rubber, there was nothing like it. It was exciting. Think of James Dean, ducktail haircuts, cigarettes in your rolled up undershirt. What a world we live in now. Now everything that you loved is now considered illegal, immoral, and fattening. Ninnies like Ruth Bader Ginsburg want nine women on the Supreme Court to turn it not into a nanny state, but a granny state. Speaking of which, is this Bruce Jenner thing, I have to be delicate about it. He was a former decathlon winner. I have to be very careful with this because I don't want to offend too many people, just a few. Okay, he was a 76 decathlon winner. Now he's a woman. Let me ask you something. Let's say you have a proclivity in that direction. Can anyone tell me there's a gay man who couldn't wait to be a 70-year-old grandmother? I don't understand it. I just can't understand this. Is there a gay listener who can explain to me whether you agree with me that he's nuts? Let's say you're 20 years old and you live in Brazil and you have the brains of a banana. Okay, and you want to act in porno films for the rest of your life. That's where that's popular. But why would someone want to do this at his age? He couldn't wait to be a 70-year-old grandmother. Wow, now he's happy. Do you know any other woman who wants to be 70? I don't know any woman who couldn't wait to become 70. This doesn't make sense to me. But look, I'm from another universe, I suppose. I'm not part of the progressive thinking that's prevalent in America today. I just common sense. Why would he do this at 70 or whatever he is? How old is this guy? I don't know. The whole thing is so stupid. All he wants is attention. It's just more attention grabbing. The people will mutilate themselves for attention. Look what the girls do, for God's sakes. Speaking of mutilation, I have an article that I found on michaelsavage.com, incidentally. 2 million page views a month, which is pretty good. It's not great. I mean, it's not the biggest website in the world. It's bigger than most people in talk radio. It's pretty big. Well, I got the numbers here. They're real. Hold on. I want to look at it. Yep. About 24 million page views last year for michaelsavage.com. Not insignificant. So I was on my website this morning reviewing what's up. You know, I do it. Art does it for World in the Daily. The guys who work for me send me articles. I found an article about genital mutilation. I was shocked to read, if it's still here, I don't even know if it's here, 500,000 girls in America will be genitally mutilated in America this year. I couldn't believe the number. I can't find it. I just can't find it. I think here, more than 500,000 in U.S. could be at risk of female genital excision. Los Angeles Times. Tell me which religion recommends that a young girl's private parts be mutilated in the name of their psychotic view of their religion. Is it Hinduism? No. Is it Buddhism? No. Is it Judaism? No. Is it Christianity? No. I didn't hear Obama talk about that the other night in lauding the wonders of his, you know. More than 500,000 in the U.S. could be at risk of female genital excision, which is genital mutilation. I don't have to describe it. And the number one state for it is the state I live in, California, which has the most number of, in the state. The state with the highest number is California, and they have the highest number of female genital excisions, 57,000 in California. Now, you read the whole article, and nowhere do they mention the word anywhere. They're not allowed to say the word or it's not. They can't say it once. The whole article in the L.A. Times, methodology, Center for Disease Control, what's happening for the other side of the world, has implications for families here in the U.S. Nowhere, though, do any of the public health phonies say the word, ever. They don't say, no, Muslim. Not one word. Not once do they say, that I learned. And so now you understand why, how crazy this is. Cutting a girl's genitals for non-medical reasons has been illegal under U.S. federal law since 1996. In 2013, President O signed a law that also makes it illegal to send a girl to another country to have the procedure done. But we learn that just one criminal case has been brought in the U.S. for female genital excision. And who was it? Here's as close as they come. An Ethiopian immigrant. They don't say, An Ethiopian immigrant, was convicted of aggravated battery and cruelty to children for removing his daughter's clitoris with scissors at the family's Atlanta area apartment when she was two. Isn't that great, the kind of immigrants we're getting today? You know, you have to think about it. We don't need more Einsteins from Europe. We don't need more Edisons. We don't need more any more Volters. The evil white male is dead. What we need are more people who think this way. See, this will bring us up to the next level of humanity. And that's why Obama's bringing in 100,000 a month of people who think this way. Let us say from that religious orientation. 100,000 a month. We read that there are long-term risks to the women who undergo what is sometimes referred to as female genital mutilation or cutting. The World Health Organization, blah, blah, you get the whole picture. Now they come close to saying who's doing it. But in some African and Middle Eastern communities, the practice is seen as an important coming-of-age ritual that ensures a woman's purity. Without it, she may not be able to marry. So only a mutilated girl is a good girl to this religion of peace? Bring in more of them. Yeah, bring them all in. So they show a map of where they are, this superb example of the future of humanity. And I happen to live in the state. All right, what are you going to do? I'm not leaving. I'm not going to leave the state because he's bringing more of them in. I live here. In fact, I'm going to be spending a lot more time in Los Angeles in the very near future. You don't know that. I made that decision. It's not that I hate San Francisco. I just don't like San Francisco. I can't put it clearly enough. I don't hate San Francisco. I just don't like it enough. And I'll tell you why. It's filled with weird technical people, like techies, creeps. It's a creepy city. Everyone tries to be so cool, they're not cool. That's the kind of city it is. Remember I went to New Orleans about a year ago, 2 years ago, to the Super Bowl, and I came back and I said something which insulted San Francisco, and they really got mad. I said, New Orleans is what San Francisco pretends to be but isn't. New Orleans has a true artistic bohemian community, which San Francisco has not had for about 60 years. There's no artistic bohemian community there. Here, it's all poseurs. The cafe crazy check people. They're all writing screenplays that nobody will ever buy. They're writing novels nobody will read. Even on the internet, they can't publish them. Poseur, poseur, poseur. I'm not leaving, but I'm not staying. I'm going to be spending about half time in L.A. I happen to like L.A. I'm one of those people. Why? Why do I like L.A.? You want to hear why I like L.A.? Let's forget phony, right? Oh, L.A. is phony, and you're not? Right away, no, you're not. You're the authentic thing, the progressive. He's the authentic thing, the hater. So let's say everyone's phony or as real as you have to be, okay? Everyone's potentially a phony or a realist. It depends upon who you're talking to and the situation. The reason I like L.A. is a lot more young people. Everybody is trying to make something. They're on the make. Everyone's on the make, and they let you know it. See, that's the difference between L.A. and San Francisco. Everyone's on the make here, but they pretend they're not. They're too cool to admit that they want beautiful things and they want money. Everyone, no, man, I don't need it. I'm so unmaterialistic. Yeah, like, right, sure. Everyone's a star behind their car. That's the way we all are. It's that simple. Even you phonies and your Priuses who pretend that you're like down, you're down with the environment. What are you doing but showing off? It's all egotism. Paul said it. All is vanity. So don't fool me, man. We're all human beings. So LA, at least they're out front about it. And I like the dynamics of people talking. If I say something to someone down there, I don't care if his name is Gonzalez and he's a gardener. I get reaction. He don't know who I am, but I get people talk to you down there. The only people who react to me here, frankly, are the Mexican gardeners and the El Salvadorans. Even in broken Spanish, I get a more human reaction than I do from the creepy white people who live in these suburbs up here. It's like ghoulish. It's like there's no continuum in this area, a dead zone. So that's enough on that. I mean, it's not like they're evil. They're just dead. L.A., at least there's life. Life, life, life. The food's better. The people are more dynamic. And the houses are nicer. It's another thing about the Bay Area. The houses are shanties. They're all, like, constructed badly. Even the expensive houses are built badly in Northern California. How do they get away with that? There's no basements. They're like it for years. The construction up here sucks. If you drive north of San Francisco, it's like it's creepy. It looks like, who am I thinking of? The guy with the swastika on his head in prison with the girls, with the Manson. Everyone looks like Manson to me. Like, if you go, like, west of like Santa Rosa, like everyone looks like Charles Manson coming out of a chicken coop. I don't understand it. It has a creepy feeling to it. I just don't get it. I don't go north of a certain town on Highway 101. It's like the dividing line. I live, you know, in the area. I have multiple areas I hang out in, the city, Marin County. Everyone knows that. I try not to go north of San Rafael. I feel like I'm entering, like, you know, like the Twilight Zone. It becomes like ghoul area. It's the same everywhere, wherever you live. It's like creepy. Like, I feel like Nazis are going to come out of the woodwork any minute. Well, worse yet, liberal fascists. It's hard to say what's the difference today. They're all brainwashed north of San Rafael. Actually, south of San Rafael are all brainwashed. The children are so hopeless, it's sad. They're nice children. Their brains are rotten. They know nothing. They're global warming, gay marriage, unfairness, income inequality, the rich suck, the 1%, yeah, on and on and on. Yeah, all right. That they learned already by the first grade, Communism 101. Taught by all of the holy grailers. All of the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs of the world to wash the brains of our poor children. So you say, well, is it any different in L.A.? I don't know. I don't know. The restaurant's a different scene. When I went down there, my friend, I can't mention his name. He's liable to never be hired again. But I have an actor friend who I really like. He's not, like, famous, but he's been in 200 movies. He's a great guy because he's actually an opera singer and a great singer. I mentioned Robert Davi. He's a great singer. He does a lot of shows with Frank Sinatra tunes, and he appears in Vegas. He appears in down there. This guy, if you see this guy, he is so tough-looking. He's frightening. He plays villains. Him and I, for some reason, we hit it off. I don't understand. I do understand exactly why. We both have poetic sensibilities. We both have a great artistic sense. We both have a sense of tragedy. We have a sense of humor. And when we start talking, it's nonstop being like being back at the candy store when I was a kid. So he and I talk a lot on the phone, like with kids back in high school. I can't explain it. It's really odd. But the thing is, he's not alone. I mean, he's unique unto himself, but there are people down there that he's a circle with that love me. They listen to me on the internet. It's the only city in the country I'm not on the radio. Would you believe it? It's really odd. Not allowed to mention that, but... It's an odd thing. I'm on every major city in the country. Big stations, best stations, but for some reason. But in LA, I have a big following. I have people who love me on the internet. Like he went into a hat store last week and he sent me a picture of himself buying a hat. And he said, Mike, this guy who owns the hat store loves you. When you come down here, you said, like, I need a free hat, right? Just what I need. I had a free hat given to me when I was a local host. I still treasure it. I think the man who gave it to me died. 1995, this guy was a tailor, and I had told the story that my grandfather was a tailor, came to America, worked hard, died young. So he gave me a gift when I was on KSFO, a local station. He sent it to me in a hat box. I wore it like once or twice to look at it. He gave me a hat called the President. It looks like Harry Truman's hat. No, but it was like for me in my size. I have a whole collection of hats. I rarely wear them. But when I do, it's like very nice. I have a nice hat picture I should put up. I think I'm going to purge the internet of all pictures of me, except one. There's a new picture really a good picture of me. Really great. See, I made a lot of mistakes. I'm too open. This is my problem, is I talk too much. I'm too open. And I publish too many different pictures of myself. If you'll notice that people are really in control of their image, only let one image out that you ever see. Like Obama. He always looks the same. Always in charge. Always in charge. When you see a picture come out of him, like skinny arms, like spindly legs, cigarettes. I mean, he looks terrible. Like a rear shot of him passing that note on the Drudge Report. Wow, that's leader of the free world. That's great. That's really encouraging. It's not that skinny guys can't be, you know, tough, but there's something weird about the skinny. I mean, something really weird about his thinness. I'm worried. No, I don't like his policies, but I'm very concerned about his health. The guy's shrinking in front of our eyes like the amazing shrinking presidency. And how did I get to this from genital excision? I don't really know how my mind works. Can anyone explain this to me? But, oh, I got off on the genital excision thing where they wouldn't mention the mm word or that the Africans are mm-mm. They wouldn't mention their religion. They can't mention their religion. And I went from that to Bruce Jenner, like, excuse me? Do you know any gay men who couldn't wait to become a 70-year-old grandmother? I mean, a granny tranny? That's really hot. I can't wait to see those pictures. Wow. A granny tranny? That's what the man's always wanted to be? Okay, hey. I mean, they used to say different strokes for different folks, but I would say this is like to the extreme. Okay, break time.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. Cruising altitude now on the Savage Nation. Please unbuckle your seatbelts. Settle back. We'll be sending you a cocktail any moment now as we can find the steward eye. I think they're on their hydration break right now for the next hour and a half. I don't fly anymore. I'd rather take a van to L.A. than fly anymore. I don't like airports. I just, the people who I've avoided all my life get the chance to frisk me. Can you imagine that? It's like everyone I've been mentally try to avoid my entire life, they get to frisk me. How does that work? What kind of society am I living in? These are kids I used to teach in junior high school who had to be disciplined all the time. Now they're there frisking me. They make $6 an hour. I don't know what they make. I really don't know. So did I tell you that I'm writing an experimental novel that I'll publish on the internet, I hope, this year? It's a pretty weird novel. It's very strange. When it comes out, you'll be surprised it's from me. I don't have time. 40 seconds. I was going to read a piece from it. It starts like this. He was forced to submit to an MRI. The state believed it would help diagnose his chronic pain. He knew he might panic and might bolt, being unable to even wear socks for any length of time. He hated confinement, even elevators, and so the night came for the examination. He chose the latest appointment in the evening. The technician was a gelded male of the reassuring, not snippy kind. Well, anyway, he was in the damn tube holding on through the first few segments of the loud mechanical clicking. He imagined he was biking on a regular street counting the houses. He was trying to will through the elemental torture when it finally happened. Anyway, he had an auditory hallucination. It's pretty well written.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, this is the Kickstart Savage. Welcome to hour number two. It's storming out here in San Francisco. I love it. It's my favorite weather. At last, there's something happening out here that's worth looking at. Play the music for a minute, please. Just give me a little excitement here. I don't know. Look at this idiot's story. All right, turn it off now. CIA investigating ISIS claim that female American hostage killed. Now, why would we investigate a claim by the fascist Nazi Untermenschen? What are we trying to do? Show that Jordan made a mistake? What's wrong with this government? That would be like saying FBI investigating Nazi claim that female American hostage killed in bombing run. What has happened to common sense in my country that even the dummies at Fox News would be running a story like that? So now Jordan doesn't have drones. Obama wouldn't give them unarmed drones. People ask, why won't Obama give them drones? So he's coming up with a double excuse. Oh, because we've got to make sure Israel has the balance there. Yeah, right. Sure, that's the real reason he won't give them drones. It's because he doesn't want his friends knocked off. That's all. What else is in the news? The Williams thing about that liar, like you ever thought he told the truth. Oh, Brian Williams' credibility is under fire. The only schmuck in the media who wants him to stay on is this putz, Howard Kurtz, who never had credibility to begin with. Right? Howard Kurtz, a big on Fox News. Williams is too big to fail. That goes to the credibility of Fox News. They'd have that old schmendrick on that network for all these years. He belongs in Katrinaville with Williams and Dan Rather. They're all in the same, you know, sinking ship. What else is in the news? Oh, it's disgusting. The news is horrendous. Horrible. I am not shocked that Robin Williams is dead. Robert Williams, what's this guy's name? Brian Williams? Yeah, I know it is. Pancake Makeup Williams. Yeah, a big authority. Another one who's in love with himself. Yeah, nothing but CRAP. I mean, if you have a division of NBC that has Al Sharpton on it, end of case, end of story. Reverend Sharpton. No one knows where he got his reverend's degree from. He doesn't have one. At least Jesse Jackson went to divinity school. You got to give him that. He studied theology. I think that this one studied criminology, not theology. See, I can't be attacked for that because that's very clever. All right, we've covered the therapy kangaroos. We've covered whatever. The news is horrendous. The calls haven't taken one yet. I got into a very good role in the last hour. First I got angry, then I got enraged, then I got into... I did an actual stand-up routine at a certain point about genital mutilation. I felt myself really sailing along, but then now it's a new hour. You got to be on a stage for a good hour or two where you really build up a head of steam. No breaks, just an audience. I don't do them anymore. I haven't done a live performance since 2004 when Teddy was a black puppy. He is now a gray poodle at the age of 10. Imagine he's aged that much. I haven't done a live performance since, a real audience. But I really do it. See, the thing is, it takes too much out of me. I don't know how anyone does it without giving it their all, but then you die young. See, if you could still perform at a certain age, it means you haven't been giving it your all. The mark of a good performer is you drop dead on stage eventually. That's why I don't want to perform on stage. No, it takes too much out of me. And secondly, I'll be honest with you. I did what Sinatra and the Friends pretended to do. I actually drank on stage. Does anyone out there in this audience remember when I did my live performance at the Concord, the Chronicle Pavilion? You remember how good it was? The first act, I came out in the red Cadillac and they screamed. They went crazy. That was the best act. The next one where I was sitting in a chair and the curtain fell came up and I had a scene where I was sitting in a chair with a clicker changing the news and screaming at the news. That was good. The third act already, I had drank too much and it devolved. Half the audience left because I was getting insulting. The audience had stayed, though. They would have stayed for the next week. It was so good. But it took too much out of me. My performance is this, 3 hours a day. Champion for America's Borders, Language, and Culture. And it's Friday, so I lighten it up a bit. We talk about light subjects like, female genital mutilation. That way they don't mention the word or the I word, you know. But we have heavy-duty stuff. What's this Eric Holder hoops it up? Please. Oh, he's in San Francisco. I'm not going over the bridge. I don't want to go there. Bond fine sells for $16 million? I'm into cars. A bond fine Ferrari sells for $16 million. What is this car? A 61 Ferrari 250 GT California Spider. That's a collector's item. I don't know what you need a car like that for. I mean, you say, well, what do you need any kind of car that's expensive for? The car was once the property of French actor Alain Delon. Extensively photographed on French Riviera with Delon's girlfriend Jane Fonda. Oh, my God. Before her trip to Hanoi? I'd like to bid on the anti-aircraft gun that Jane Fonda sat on. That would be a collector's item. See, if North Vietnam wanted to raise some money, they should get the anti-aircraft gun that Fonda sat on, cursing America and saying what she said. Now, that's something I'd bid on. That's one I'd like to have, the EAA gun. 855-407-282. Let's go to the callers. Line number one, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael. WABC, this is Steve. couple of points. I just wanted to piggyback on what you were talking earlier about a militia being able to carry their weapons. Our founding fathers knew that one day we would have to be able to rise against our own country because they didn't trust who might be elected someday down the road.
Well, I was reading the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It does call for a revolution when the government becomes oppressive. It does.
Exactly. But
no, I read it very clearly.
And that's
and it's talking about what happens when a government no longer responds to the people, when evils are insufferable, and people can't take it anymore. But they list the insults to the colonists that were perpetrated by the British, you see? And we have not yet reached that point, to be honest with you.
Not yet, thank God.
No, not yet, thank God. And if we can survive two more years of this little mini dictator in the White House, I think we can get past that that impulse.
Hopefully.
I mean, I've read this very carefully. They're pretty good. When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. Then they talk about the history of the present King of Britain as a history of repeated injuries and usurpations. Hey, who does that sound like? All having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And then they list the facts in very succinct terms of why they wanted a revolution. Well, I will remind you that in my latest book, Stop the Coming Civil War, there are 300 pages listing the crimes against the people. It's a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. And I list the facts. I'll give you an example, one of them, and I don't want to get into it because it's kind of boring. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. So what does that mean? It means that if governors do not want illegal aliens in their soup and they pass laws to prevent it, and the dictator in the White House and his minions of anti-American vermin continue to override the states, what the hell do you call that? See? Shall I go on? I can go on. I can go on. Oh, there's many, many such offenses being conducted by King Hussein right now. Here's a little one. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. Really? What are they, Michael? Subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. He's making us assent to international law in many areas right now for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us. Well, he hasn't done that, has he? The best one is the taxation. That's the main one. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. That's so number one. That's numero uno. Forget about the Boston Tea Party. The guy is taxing us to support illegal aliens. I'll read you something. Your hair's going to stand up. I was waiting for the right moment to slip this in. I can't find it, though. It's too many papers. These guys send me thousands of pages. I read ads in the morning. Then I lose the important stuff. That's why I go into the Natch. Here it is. I found it. I can always find it. Just need a few seconds. My encyclopedic mind sometimes takes a second or two to find amongst the thousands of sheets. This comes to me from a listener, Immigration Amnesty. You're not going to believe what Obama's planning to do. I swear you'll throw up. Dear Michael, I do volunteer tax work, and yesterday I ran into a situation that's probably how Obama's amnesty will work, at a big tax cost to those who actually pay taxes. An Hispanic couple came in to file their taxes, and their ID consisted of no ITINs, but they did have a Social Security card for each of the four members of the family that was issued by DHS for work purposes. Their income was a little over $18,000. Taxes withheld were a little over $400. Wow, I should only have that tax rate. And their refund was a little less than $7,000. Did you hear this? They earned $18,000. Their refund from Uncle Obama was a little less than $7,000. He says, with the Social Security card issued by DHS, they received the same tax consideration as a regular citizen. They received EIC and child tax credits, and they can use the card to receive food stamps and housing assistance. Savage, someone needs to get this info out to the public, because when I tell all my friends about how the tax system works for these people, they are shocked. I sent the same message to Ted Poe, my congressman, and asked him what he was going to do about it. Michael Savage, I am 80 years old and would like to be kept anonymous because I don't need Obama and Holder on my case. Well, I rest my case. What would you say about that? Why would Obama be giving them a tax refund like that at your expense? Is this not an insult that rises to the level of a crime and misdemeanor? Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I'll be right back to take your calls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
What a liar. This guy is sickening. Either he's mentally ill or he's such an America hater, it's frightening. This is the rhetoric coming out of the radical Islamist mindset. Do you know that? We read the other day that he had a group of Muslims, secret group of Muslims in the White House, that he finally released the list. This is their rhetoric. This is the rhetoric that passes for university talk these days. This is the rhetoric of America haters. This is the rhetoric of radical Muslims. I mean, let's not split hairs. Whatever happened to a conscience of a nation that says enough is enough? The man is exhibiting all of the pathologies of an America hater that you would expect from an America hater. What is he doing in the White House? Say, well, there's nothing new under the sun. Say, well, how did he get there? How does he stay there? How? Brian Williams and cohorts. I rest my case. Could a man of this low ilk and of this hatred for this country have gotten where he is? Was it not for these suits? No. Impossible. So don't tell me this is a new story. Brian Williams lied about Katrina. Brian Williams lied about being a war hero in Iraq. You're shocked by that? Well, let me remind you of something. Back in 1998, Michael Savage, local host, KSFO, gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club, Beware the Government Media Complex. You think things have changed? Robert, play a piece of that speech right now. Beware Michael Savage, 1998.
Beware. Go ahead. Beware the Government Media Complex. I hope to prove to you over the next period of time that perhaps never before in American history has there been so cozy a relationship. And this, by the way, transcends right or left. Has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with politics, it has everything to do with press freedom. And I want to state that from the outset. I believe that today we have a relationship that is too cozy between government and media. Many of the speeches that are given before the Commonwealth Club, many of them, are picked up and rebroadcast by the local NPR radio station. Do you see any NPR people here? No. Many of the speeches given before the Commonwealth Club are transmitted on C-SPAN, which is paid for by the cable companies. Do you see any C-SPAN cameras here? Beware the government media complex. You know, the media, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, is needed by you and by me, by the public, very badly needed, to be and to remain a thorn in the side of the government. In order to keep the government relatively honest, you need a media that's constantly poking at them. However, when the media instead becomes a thorn in the side of the skeptical private citizen, the media then becomes an arm of the government. Beware the government media complex. When agitators for the homeless riot, when they burn trash cans, they break the law, but they're held up as freedom fighters for the poor by the left-leaning press. But if one compassionate conservative dares to speak out, he's condemned to the gulag of media silence, the gulag of media exile. This startling bias in the media is more threatening to the pillars of our republic than even the most ardent conservative might believe. It is censorship by default as well. What do I mean by censorship by default? Where the commercial interests of the media moguls are so intertwined with government policy as to create an overly friendly image of government officials and their policies. So it may not be as clear as a conspiracy to bias the news, but it comes out to be the same thing anyway. Now, this bias is not limited to the left. It is largely a product of left-wing bias when it comes to certain social issues, such as affirmative action or gay rights. But the right also biases the news when it wants to shade fiscal issues to their benefit. I first began this file on the government media complex about 3 years ago. I noticed an alarming bias occurring, and I knew that without correction, this could sink the ship of truth. Now, surely other administrations have had their friends in high media places. But still, there were many voices and many views of dissent which found their way into the national media. But now we have a growing media blackout of some serious crimes and misdemeanors, all unsolved to the satisfaction of those with critical powers of reason.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Weekend's coming up, that's all. The weekend of no radio. It's like a death zone. It's like an empty zone. No Michael Savage, no radio. You got nothing to look forward to. There isn't even a Super Bowl. I'm the Super Bowl every day. You know how many times I have quoted Cicero? A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely. His sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. So wrote the Roman orator and statesman in 42 BC, Marcus Tullius Cicero, and it was the opening to my book, The Enemy Within, by Michael Savage, written in 2000, and I don't know the year, I have it here. I can't believe it, how time has flown, 2003. If that does not describe a man who attacks Christianity itself, and also attacks our courts, our health care, our military, our media, our faith, our morality, our schools, our colleges, our minds. Tell me what has to happen till people wake up and understand that in our time there are traitors within. So now if we agree that there are traitors, that it's possible, let's say possible. Say logically it's possible that there could be traitors within the government. We all watch the TV show on HBO, Homeland, Showtime rather, Homeland. Oh, wow, look at that. Iraq veteran, captured by the enemy, broken, turned into a Muslim, sent back to America. He's a war hero, runs for office, and now he's a congressman. But he's secretly a Muslim, has a prayer rug, and he's working for the enemy. Well, that's an interesting thing, but it's only fiction. Couldn't happen here. It can happen here. It hasn't happened here. How do you know? What do you mean hasn't happened here? Logically, it could happen here. Logically, it could be happening here. Now, if you look at the strange, weird events about, A, not fighting a war against ISIS with any degree of certainty, not really using all the weapons we have at hand, firing generals who are going to blow the whistle on what he did at Benghazi, go down the list, purging the military from the top ranks down, replacing them with incompetence from the top, from the lower ranks up. Go down the list. Go ahead. Then getting up there at the National Prayer Breakfast, which was originally, by the way, a breakfast held by Christian members of Congress for themselves and perverting it by attacking Christianity itself at a national prayer breakfast that was originated for Christians in Congress and then attacking the heart and soul of Christianity and saying it was done in the name of Christ during the Crusades. I'm asking you what has to happen. Tell me what has to happen until you finally see the picture. Tell me what the heck has to happen. The answer is nothing. Nothing will awaken the dead American. The dead American. Dead American, that's all. What is he going to do? Nothing. A dead zone. So what am I going to do about it? Nothing. I'm just a... I told you, 1998, beware the government media complex. So you say, well, this thing about Brian Williams, this is why He got away with it.
It's these slick liars like Williams, like Dan Rather, like the rest of that pack of phonies that put him in power and keep him in power. They are the stooges of Izvestia. They're the stooges of Pravda. But okay, hey, those who know their history are condemned to repeat it as well because of the idiots who don't know their history are condemned to repeat it. We know our history. We see what's happening. We see the emerging dictatorship. And by the way, his pathologies are becoming more noticeable. He's letting them out now nakedly. Why is he nakedly releasing his pathologies all of a sudden, his hatred for Christianity? Why? You think this was by accident? He's pushing, seeing how far he can get. Saying, look, I'll go to the National Prayer Breakfast, originally created for Christians in Congress, and now I'll attack Jesus himself. Guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing, not an outcry. Oh, there were comments. But no demand that he be impeached, that this is the last straw, we're not taking it anymore. He's gone over the line, he's done it, it's too much. Stop it, over, we're impeaching you. Doesn't matter whether you win the impeachment hearings. What matters, you expose him for what he is doing and stop him by exposing him. And you put up with the Congressional Black Caucus. And you put up with the street rat Al Sharpton. You put up with them and tell them to go back where they came from. No, but no, not a word from the drunk. Not a word from the drunk or the gobbler. Because the drunk and the gobbler got what they wanted. They paid off the Keystone XL pipeline operators. They got a little bit of the business done. That's enough. Go back to the boozing and the schmoozing. That's all. That's all. There he is. He's done his work for the week. He gave a speech about the Pope. His Holiness is coming. We're thrilled with His Holiness is coming here. Are you even kidding me? Why would you want the Pope to address Congress? You never heard of the separation of church and state? I thought we're not supposed to have a state religion. So why are you inviting the head of the Catholic Church, number one? But that would be great if he was actually a religious leader instead of a political opportunist. The Pope is a political opportunist, jumping in on global warming, jumping in on immigration. He also wants broken borders. He wants a tax on, you can't believe this guy, unfairness. Everywhere you turn, it's like the preacher of Marxism in a robe and a skull cap. So why would they want him here? That's number one. But number two, do you understand the doors that have just been opened? If they're inviting the Pope to address Congress, who next address Congress? An imam. Ah, yeah. You didn't see that curveball coming. You thought it was only about the Pope. No, 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 no. Very soon, you'll have an imam telling you how evil Jesus was, how evil America was. You dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, slavery. Let's go down the litany. American Indians, smallpox in a blanket, internment of Japanese. Let's go down the list. Let's go down the list together and see what's coming under Hussein Obama. Yeah, a lot of damage that man can do. Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I haven't taken many calls, and I don't apologize for it. My energy's higher. The stories are so horrendous. It's getting better every day to do talk radio. And yet, how much can we take of this until somebody does something? Brian Williams' apology challenge, why he's too big to fail, says Howard Kurtz. Now, Howard Kurtz has always been a marginal player. And why he was ever on Fox News to begin with is obvious to me. They always needed a liberal disguised as a conservative. And now he's coming out of the closet like Obama is. Just as Obama came out of the closet and attacked Christianity itself, Howard Kurtz comes out of the closet and attacks truth itself and says, oh, yeah, he's too big to fail. Okay, how about the credibility of Fox for permitting him to stay on the air? But don't expect old, ill Roger Ailes to do anything about it, because Ailes' ills are so great that it's doubtful that the ill Ailes will do anything to fix the ills that ail his network. That's pretty good. Even the fool in Shakespeare couldn't have done better. Now let's take a couple of calls. Line 2, welcome to the Savage Nation.
This is Bruce from Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Listening on KOH, 50,000.
I love Lake Tahoe. You're on KOH, Lake Tahoe, so you're up near, where? What's the town there that I love in the north?
Truckee?
Not Truckee. No, on the Nevada side.
Reno?
No. You said you're in Lake Tahoe, so what city in Tahoe?
Incline Village.
Incline Village. I once had a house up there. You know that?
Oh.
It was pretty. I lasted about a month and sold it. Too isolated for me. It's gorgeous. But, I mean, I'm not a gold miner. So what's on your mind?
Your bring the Hellcat up on I-80. There's 8 miles of grade there, and you can really get the torque out.
Where? Oh, I can speed on the plateau?
Yeah, going up 80. There's 8 miles of...
Oh, yeah, there's a straight run from Truckee when you get up on the ridge, straight over before it starts to drop down to Reno.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to do 108. The car does 204 miles an hour. I doubt very much that the Nevada Highway Patrol will appreciate that.
Going up to Lake Tahoe, you don't have to drive that fast, but you can feel the torque building under your foot.
Oh, you mean when you climb the Mount Rose Highway?
Well, that's one, but I'm talking about going up to Donner Lake.
Yeah, I love Lake Tahoe. It's still the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful places in the world. It's unbelievable. So what's on your mind politically today, my friend?
You played that recording of Obama, and it makes my stomach turn. You didn't know, you can tell by his voice and his inflection. It's like an American jihadist over there in Syria with a
rose. My friend, the rhetoric attacking Jesus and putting this curse on Christianity is exactly the rhetoric of the jihadis who justify their acts of their atrocities.
And he attacks Israel. And he backs people running against...
Yes, running against Netanyahu, and he sends 273 progressive communist scum over there to undermine Netanyahu, and says he doesn't want to tamper in a foreign election. I get it.
And my question is, Ambassador John Bolton, it's a long shot. He doesn't have millions of dollars.
Who?
Ambassador John Bolton.
I'm not a fan of his. It's not that he looks like a little walrus whose time has not come. I think he's a self-important man. His beliefs and platform are good, but he's not presidential material, honestly.
Thank you for
See,
your
I'm a pragmatist. I'm a pragmatist. It's not only the ideas, but who could actually win. There are a lot of wonderful people with great ideas, but they can never win. I have better ideas than all of them that are going to run. I could never win, though. See, so it's the same thing with this guy. It's not that he's a bad guy or his ideas aren't good. He's not presidential material. Nobody would vote for a man who looks like a walrus. Thanks for the call. Now, that leads us up to Valentine's Day, and I've got to tell you this. It is true. It's next week. And you know what they're going to ask. Hey, so what did he get you for Valentine's Day? Why don't you impress the woman in your life? Maybe it's even your mother. What, has that gone out of favor? Because she's going to post all over social media that you gave her this beautiful thing, and she'll show you the picture. And you get 100 blooms of love with a free glass vase for $19.99. Go ahead, be a sport for her. The price of a beer, $9.99 more. That's right. You know what you get? Gourmet chocolates, a stuffed bear. You go to proflowers.com, and you use my code SAVAGE, or I'll be mad at you. ProFlowers is quick, it's easy, and they deliver on Valentine's Day. You can't beat the price. And by the way, even if you have Valentine's Day plans, you still need flowers delivered. You'll get a double out of it. And remember this about women. She says, no, I don't really want flowers. She means you better get me flowers. And by the way, these flowers last for 7 days, which means, hey, guys, okay, do I have to tell you what that means? 7 days she's going to like you before she turns against you again. Because the longer the flowers last, okay, I can't finish that. It's a family story. Have you ordered Pro Flowers for your sweetheart yet? Did the flowers look good? They're unbelievable. Everyone loves them. You go to proflowers.com. You click on the blue microphone. Blue, that's interesting. In the top right corner. And you type in Savage. That's proflowers.com. Click on the mic and type in Savage. Nobody knows flowers like Savage. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. That opens up one line at 855-400-7282. Let's go to line number five. Line five, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
WBAP, Norman.
Your name is Betty, BAP in Dallas. What's on your mind, Betty, BAP?
Well, as a new listener, I've had a hard time understanding your Bronx accent.
Yeah, well, welcome to the club. I don't know what you've said so far.
Okay.
Look, don't pick on a guy from the Bronx and expect him to bend over. I'm not a liberal. What's on your mind?
I was going to tell you that one day you were reading from your book, I believe, and you were reading, and it was very serious. And I thought, I've heard that voice before, or one like it. And I got to thinking about it, and the reading voice that you have is very much like Rod McEwen, the poet.
Wow. Yeah, he sold like 60 million copies of his books. But he didn't sound like he was from the Bronx, did he?
No, but your reading voice doesn't.
Oh, you're saying when I read, my voice changes to something different than when I speak.
Yes, because the breaks and the pauses that you put in there.
Well, what was I reading from? Was it my current book, Stop the Coming Civil War, or something earlier, like Love by the Sewer Plant? Which one was it?
No, it wasn't one of those. It was like an excerpt from a political book.
Okay, so it's my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. So which voice do you like best, the Rod McEwen Savage voice or the other one?
Well, I tell you what, I liked the Bronx voice, but I couldn't understand it. But then after I listened to the reading voice, you've got me sold.
Well, I got to tell you something. We're going to start a new system on the Savage Nation, which is anyone from Texas who doesn't understand me, we're going to send you a set of subscripts for my radio show, which will come up on your iPhone so you can get it in translation. Just kidding. Listen, I'm going to send you a special gift. You know what that is? You're getting a free Shari's Berries this week for being such a wonderful new listener. You stay on the line and give Jim your email address, and we're going to send you a free Shari's Berries, okay? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. Tell me what would have happened if any other president in history during a national prayer breakfast got up and attacked Christianity the way Obama did. You got to play this again because this is unprecedented. And he owes an apology to the entire Christian world. You go play it now. This is
sickening.
Unless
we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place. Remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country. Slavery,
here we go
Jim Crow,
again.
All too often was justified in the name of Christ.
Liar. It was Christians who freed the slaves, you liar, you. How much can you take from a man who not only breaks your border and floods your country with illegal aliens, many of whom are ill, measles, viruses, and now attacks the religion of the nation? You heard me. The country was founded by Christians, not by Muslims!
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation Rock and Roll Friday edition. Phone number to unprotected talk, 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. NBC News has quietly set up a Brian Williams truth squad to investigate all of his tall tales. The unit consists of a handful of producers and reporters who are focusing now on his much-questioned Hurricane Katrina stories, but there's more. Now, one of his biggest tall tales is that Obama was an American, born in America, loved America. One of his bigger tales was that Obama's great, Obama's wonderful, Obama's going to bring the races together. You understand why we have Obama as president? They say, oh, this is Obama bashing. I don't want to hear it. All right, so don't listen to it. Go listen to some idiot on NPR. Go ahead. You like Vivaldi music? Go ahead. Listen to Vivaldi music with the lies that they feed you every day. You want the raw truth? You want the plain truth? Listen to Michael Savage. The reason that we have such a man in the White House, and I don't have to give you the litany of charges that I believe he should be charged with for his crimes and misdemeanors against the American people and the Constitution, but now the religion of the Founding Fathers, But it's men like Brian Williams that permitted this. They were the enablers. They were the liars. They were the cover-up artists. They were the reason and are the reason that man gets away with virtual murder. And waiting in the wings is Hillary Clinton. Waiting in the wings is Hillary Clinton, who gave us the Arab Spring. How's that worked out for the world? How's that worked out for everyone, the Arab Spring? How's it worked out to have turned Putin into an enemy when he was our ally? Before this monstrous group of progressive lunatics got their hands on foreign policy, we had the best relations with Russia in my entire lifetime. And now look where we are. They want to go to war. And joining them is that lunatic, the foaming mad John McCain. A certifiable madman, a warmonger, a hateful warmonger. He's never seen a conflagration he did not want to turn into a war, because it's good for his bosses in the armaments industry. Do I have to name the companies? John McCain now egging on a war with Russia, which we can't win, by the way. You know and I know, if we go to war with Russia, we're going to have the most humiliating defeat of our life, because if we're not willing to use weapons against ISIS, do you think we're going to use weapons against Russians? You think we should use heavy weapons against Russians? I don't. You think we should use our Air Force against Russians but not against ISIS? And if we do, what does that tell you about Obama and the stooges who run the military under him? Tell me what that tells you. Further weakening the only alliance that was really functional against the radical Islamist hordes that are taking over the world. See, Russia was our greatest potential ally in the fight against radical Islam because he knew how to take care of them. He didn't worry too much about collateral damage. When they took over a school, he killed every last one of them. And unfortunately, some Russian men, women, and children got killed. But he didn't negotiate with those vermin. He didn't care that they're wearing burkas. He had them all killed by his special forces. They know how to deal with them. They understand them. They've lived around them long enough. Now, so what is to be gained by fighting with Putin over Ukraine? Tell me what we're going to gain by that. Why are we fighting Ukraine's war? Rightly or wrongly, what is it our business? Let me ask you that question. Why is it our business? Let's challenge you on that one. You know, there's about the same number of good Ukrainians in this country as there are good Russians. And as in terms of a broadcaster, you're all good people. I don't know you individually. The Ukrainians, the people from Ukraine have, in their mind, the right to their own land. And the Russians who live in Ukraine have a right to their land. In other words, it's a civil war. Why are we getting involved in it? When we have a real problem on our hands, which is the penetration of all of our states, with the exception of Alaska, by radical Islamists who are waiting to strike, sleeper cells. Now, why do I say a thing like that? That they're everywhere. Well, the FBI director said it the other day. He let it slip during a private conference. He said that they're everywhere. They're in every state. They're sleeper cells. They're ready to strike. And then today we wake up and that moron, Susan Rice, so-called national security advisor, says that the Islamists and ISIS, rather, does not pose an existential threat to America. Where'd she get that word from? That's suddenly the latest thing. It's like gravitas of 5 years ago. All of these sub-intellectuals. Remember they were all using the word gravitas, the Brian Wilsons, or Williams, whatever his name is. They're all using gravitas. He doesn't have gravitas. He has gravitas. He doesn't have gravitas. He has gravitas. Gravitas. You're thinking we're talking about a cheese, some kind of French dish. Can I have the gravitas? It's like a bad kind of lox. So that came and went. They always use words like gravitas. They hear it once from some academic, and gravitas. Now the latest word is existential. Is it an existential threat to us? Well, no. The great man Obama sat with his spindly legs crossed, and he said, no, it's not an existential threat to us. Where'd they get the word existential threat? They got it from Netanyahu, who 5 years ago said Iran is an existential threat to Israel. So now that they're permitting Iran to develop a nuclear weapon, causing a genuine existential threat to Israel, now they're saying, oh, no, all the Islamists here that they let into the country and they basically were enablers for by not looking into them are not an existential threat to us. And why does it happen? Why? Williams. Answer, Williams, Kurtz. Williams, Kurtz, Kurtz, Williams, Williams, Kurtz, that type. The very self-satisfied guys who think that they're above it all. ABC, NBC, you know, the whole network, but Fox News as well. Not all. Some of them are fabulous. But there are plenty in Fox News who are no different than this Brian Williams, whatever it is. I keep getting his names wrong. I mix him up with Robin Williams. And I don't wish him the same end at all. I guess mix up the, when you say the same last name and you're under a lot of pressure. Now, this guy, Chuck Todd, was no better than Brian Williams. He's exactly part of the same girlhood, the same sorority. It's the NBC sorority. Chuck Todd and Brian Williams saying he acknowledges his mistake. Well, so did Hitler. So did Goebbels when he was forced to admit it after he was dead in heaven. Everyone admits their mistake when they're caught. You know anyone who admits their mistake before they're caught? I don't know. I haven't met anyone yet. You know, he admits his mistake. That's Chuck Todd, another fraud. So he grew a beard now. He's supposed to be... Oh, there's Chuck Todd. Look, he has a goatee. He must be intelligent. He's not intelligent. Another stooge of NBC. Chuck Todd. Brian Williams. You know, to the credit of Tom Brokaw, he called for the firing of Chucky. I'm mixing them up. I can't remember them. It was Tom Brokaw who gave his job to Brian Wilson, Williams, said that he should be fired. To his credit, they should bring back Brokaw. He has all the suits left there in his... Think of all those suits going to waste in his closet. Those nicely tailored suits. Unless he's lost a lot of weight, you know, from depression. Gained a little weight, put on a little weight. No, he could do a 5-year. Let's say even he's trying for 6 months. I guarantee you Brokaw would have more credibility right now than Williams. He would. There's no question about it. They really ought to get rid of the beard. I mean, the beard is not selling. That Chuck Todd's like nauseating. Who does he think he's fooling there? What was he? Came along like he was Independent Voice. Forget about it. Try those guys out on radio for one show. See how long they last with an unscripted show where it has to come out of their head. You know, you see the news and you come up with your own thoughts on it. See how long they last. So now the Iraq story is all over the place. He once claimed he saved a puppy from burning house. He says that he saw dead bodies in Katrina. Why is he still on the air? Why is he too big to fail? He's not. Even the New York Post has the headline, right? And you can see it on the Drudge Report. Lion Brian war scandal engulfs NBC as Iraq pilot shoots down tail, a nose for news. And they show a picture of him with a Pinocchio nose. Growing storm over Katrina tails. Good, Matt. Go. Go, baby. Go. Go. Go get him. See, Matt Drudge is a journalist in the sense that he knows how to create a headline and what stories to run with. And he creates the news. He takes the news, and by the way he formulates it, he creates the news, as I do. I don't always use the Drudge Report, but sometimes I do. This is very good. Sometimes I go off in my own directions. Most of the time, it's what's on my own head, you know. So today we were talking about Obama lying about Christianity, bringing up the Crusades to lighten the load on Islam today. And he's using, by the way, Obama used the very rhetoric of jihadists in his attacks on Christianity. You know that. But he's not alone. Fareed Zakaria is another one of the Williams types. Wilson. I can't remember his name. Wilson? Williams. I don't like calling him Wilson. To me, it's one. I don't know what his name is. Maybe his name isn't Williams. I don't know what it is. Williams, Wilson. Where was he when Obama was being investigated? How come he didn't give us any news on his background? Huh? How come he hasn't said much on radical Islam? How come he didn't say one word about Obama saying that people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ? How come old Wilson didn't say that? Well, I know it's Willie. I keep saying Wilson. I don't get it. Now, to show you how unreliable this Brian Williams is, he went on Alec Baldwin's show a number of years ago. I know who's Alec Baldwin. I heard he's delivering Chinese food on a bicycle now on the Upper East Side. That's a joke. He may as well be. It might be the only useful thing he's ever done in his life. But when Alec Baldwin had a show that lasted about 3 minutes, who did he choose to have on the show? One of his own kind. Brian Williams. He goes on a show, talks about possibly dying in the helicopter incident. Courtesy of the Daily Caller, clip 26, please.
I guess I do say to myself and to others,
yes, I can.
I've got this.
I got
and
this.
I don't know where that unbridled confidence came from. And I've done some ridiculously stupid things under that banner, like being in a helicopter I had no business being in Iraq with rounds coming into the airframe.
Rounds, yeah,
but
rounds.
Did you think
you would die?
Briefly.
Okay, I mean, he doesn't belong on television. He belongs in the White House. I mean, the only future for Brian Williams is to become the spokesmouth for Barack Obama. The two Pinocchio noses would kind of bash into each other in a private session. Now, that's the problem. No, 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 this is fine. I mean, to be comedic in the political arena, yes. Two Pinocchios. Give him a double Pinocchio. What else is in the news? Who knows? Chocolate snorting offers a new way to a cocoa high. What a stupid idiots. They're going to wind up killing themselves with that garbage. I have cocoa powder in the closet. I tried it in my coffee to change the flavor a little bit. Big deal. I discuss it. You know, cocoa has no sugar in it. It's just ground up cocoa beans. It's delicious. But you wouldn't snort it. Mercedes has record car sales. I'm not. It's all the Nuvos. They need a Mercedes. They get the little one. It's like a big. They diminish the brand with the little one that they made. You know, but they're selling a lot of cars. I mean, who am I to tell them how to run their business? They have the same logo. Looks like the big car, but it isn't. There's a lot of Mercedes around. Oh, I have a Mercedes. So what does that make you? Big deal. It's a good car. And so what? What does that make you? Jordanian FM. ISIS is not Islamic. They're terrorists that disregard human life. Well, that's now this is the new separation now. The Jordanians are saying they're not Islamic. They're terrorists who disregard human life. All right. Good. Bomb them into the Stone Age. Get rid of them. Now, the best new senator is Senator Cotton. You never heard of him. He's an actual war veteran. This is the guy who should be the new Speaker of the House, not John Clink. Listen to Senator Cotton on Guantanamo in six.
In my opinion, the only problem with Guantanamo Bay is there are too many empty beds and cells there right now. We should be sending more terrorists there for further interrogation to keep this country safe. As far as I'm concerned, every last one of them can rot in hell. But as long as they don't do that, then they can rot in Guantanamo Bay.
See, now that's a Republican. That's the kind of man who can save the country. And he was put at the back of the bus by Boehner and McConnell. If you remember the State of the Union address, you didn't see Cotton. You didn't see any of the young Republicans who we elected, did you? No, they put him at the back of the bus. That's what they think about Americans. Because if you think that McConnell and Boehner have America, America's best interests at heart, then you probably think that it's JISIS, BISIS, or HISIS, not ISIS. And I shall return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
This is a moment where the United States and Europe must stand together, stand firm. Russia cannot be allowed to redraw the map of Europe, because that's exactly what they are doing. Ukraine is fighting for their very survival right now. Russia continues to escalate the conflict by sending mercenaries and tanks.
This is the lunatic Biden wanting war with Russia. He's obviously working for the government, media, military complex. He wants war with Russia. Instead of coming out and drooling on himself over Russia, he ought to come out and drool on himself over war against ISIS. Can you imagine an administration that permits ISIS to rage like this in a continuous blitzkrieg and does very little, by the way, very little, and now they are ginning up a war with Russia? Why are they doing this? Who the heck is running this country? Is there not a sane person left in the administration? Why would you want to go to war with Russia? Tell me why. Tell me why it's in the interest of the American people to fight with Russia, expend blood and expend munitions and expend a fortune in a war in Ukraine, and yet not send one man on the ground to fight ISIS. Hold back all of our heavy weapons, with the exception of a few bombs and a few drones. Why? They have everything upside down, don't they? Well, yes, from our perspective, yes. But from the perspective of the Islamists, this is the correct thing to do with a helpless giant. This is what you do with a pitiful, helpless giant that you've conquered. You direct the Cyclops in any direction you want, except in the direction of your own troops. And you have the Cyclops swinging wildly while you continue to crawl all over him and cut him with 1,000 slashes. You know, there's an old Arab saying that you can kill a man with 1,000 slashes rather than with one swift kill. You know what that means, don't you? Cut him 1,000 times, he'll bleed to death. This is part of the strategy of 1,000 slashes of bleeding the pitiful, helpless giant America to death. Bring in 40 million illegal aliens, give them tax credits so they get back $24,000 a family. Again, bankrupt the country. Give people money they didn't even earn now. Give medical care to illegal aliens and make sure that the veterans die a slow death in VA hospitals. I'll go down the list if you'd like. Or you can read about it and stop the coming civil war if you don't like. In either case, I'll be back in a few minutes right here to take your calls at 855-407-282. Grab a line while you can. Unprotected talk to Savage Nation right here on your local affiliate.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
If Elvis were alive today, wouldn't he be able to get into a record studio? They wouldn't know where they would book him. You think about some of the giants of the past in any field. Could they sell today? Could they get through the door today? Look at the Brian Williams thing. Could a guy like that, as fraudulent as he looks to start with, get through the door of a television studio today? The answer is sure. They all look like that. They're all pancake jobs. They're all inauthentic, fraudulent men and women. That's why they're in that business. Who else would go in that business? See, well, you're really piling on. You're just jealous. You're knocking it. Not really. I do well enough. But I'm very pissed at the media for having enabled Obama to get away with all of this these years and permitting him to get away with what he's getting away with now on a daily basis. That's my fundamental rub. Ah, there's the rub. Fox's Kurtz backs Williams in his big lie, I ask. Because Brian Williams' apology challenged, he says, why he's too big to fail. It's a soft support for Brian Williams from a very questionable character on Fox News, Howard Kurtz. No one knows who he is. He's that ugly old guy with white hair. You wonder why he's around all those pretty women. What's he doing there? I mean, why is he there? He was a liberal, now he's a conservative. Big deal. Big deal. But now you see, when push comes to shove, the true stripes come out. It's all one little sorority and fraternity. That's all there is to it. And I never joined the fraternity in college even. Did I say a fraternity? I did. I always wanted a Ferrari, not a fraternity. I was never in a fraternity. It's like, you know, it's the old Groucho Marx joke. Any fraternity would have me, I wouldn't want to join. That was 100% true. Because it was the schleppy fraternities that would let me in. I didn't want to be in them. I wanted to be in the fraternities that had guys that looked like a Tab Hunter. They didn't want me. You know, tall guys, blonde hair, blue eyes. The Aryans didn't want me. The true Aryan fraternities didn't want me in them. And so, it's the old Groucho Marx joke. You know, but that's the truth of the matter here. There's a fraternity, the media. The media is a fraternity. 855-407-282. I promised you that I would take some calls, but I got to make this comment on this. The schmucks in the media are saying Islamic State claims American hostage killed in bombing in Syria. Why would any American journalist run a story like that? Now suddenly you're going to take the word of ISIS as a lead story to smear Jordan? This is how low you have fallen, Todd and Brian and all of you in the media. This is how stupid you are that you're feeding Nazi propaganda as the truth? And by the way, what if it is true? What if she was killed by the Jordanians who stood up for their country, you morons, you? You idiots, you. They were using her as a human shield, you evil idiots. You know, when idiocy reaches this level in the media, it is not approaching evil. This idiocy is evil itself. The idiocy of the media reporting the story over and over again is evil itself. This is while ISIS is killing, torturing, and raping children in Iraq, according to the UN. The best that the morons in the media could do is say, Islamic State claims American hostage killed in bombing in Syria. Well, if they did, they were using her as a human shield. Now you're feeding Nazi propaganda to the American people. Why? You want Jordan to not protect themselves in their honor? The way your president is behaving? Is that what you want? Is that it? Is that your end game? You want the king, King Abdullah, who's behaving like a real man and a real warrior king, as opposed to our thin man? That's what you want? You want him to behave like the wimp that we have in the White House who saves his most hatred for the Tea Party, Republicans, conservatives, and Christianity itself? That's what you want to happen in the world? Answer, yes, of course. That's who they are. That's who all of the cousins of this guy Williams are. They're all identical. They're all the same. And they're digging themselves deeper into the Siberia of reality here. comparing the Crusades and slavery to ISIS executions? That's what the president does? He talks about the Crusades? 700-800 years ago was the last Crusade. And when he was a new president, this character dismissed the idea of American exceptionalism. He said that the Greeks think their country is special, too. He labeled the Bush-era interrogation practices as torture. He went on and on. Then on Thursday, yesterday, just yesterday, still fresh in the minds of most sane people, at a time when the world is reeling over Nazi Islamism, he points to his fellow Christians, if you want to call them his fellows, who consist, America's 75% identify as Christians, and he turns to them and he says, oh yeah, lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. Now this is so evil it's incomprehensible. First of all, let's start with the truth. What were the Crusades? The Crusades were the Christians' reaction to hundreds of years of provocation and land grabbing by Muslim invaders. That's number one. But you didn't learn that at NYU. The Muslims had crusaded against Christian lands, and they stole them, and they tortured people, and they killed people. So finally, the Christians had had enough. Does it sound familiar? See, but the difference was in those days, the Crusades were led by wealthy men who put on armor and raised their own private armies and went up to war. But it was the wealthy men who were protecting their own lands who went to war and ran the wars. Now compare that to who we have now running the world and running America. But let's put that aside. Then he brings up slavery and Jim Crow and doesn't say one word about Islamic fascism or the monstrosity and the tragedies that they are causing. Why does he have such a disregard for this country? Why does he have such a perverted view of America? Why does he have such a distorted view of America? Why is this man allowed to get away with this? This is not just moral equivalency. This is not just wrong-headed moral comparison. This is much worse than that. This is far worse than that. Much worse than that. Because when Obama spoke a day after meeting with Muslim leaders in his first roundtable with the Muslim-only groups in taking office, he bought their bill of goods hook, line, and sinker. He believes every word they said to him. In fact, the rhetoric of the Crusades is that which is used by the jihadists. It's what Osama bin Laden used. Did you know that? Did you know that Osama bin Laden called the American military crusaders? Did you know that? Now, why would the president of the United States, the so-called commander-in-chief, call us crusaders? Why would he feed that rhetoric back into the world's ear? Well, I don't know. Figure it out for yourself. You can pretty much figure out that Cicero knew what he was talking about, if you even know who Cicero is. And I'm not talking about a pizza chain. No, he's factually wrong. He's lying. He's dissimulating. And why would he bring up Jim Crow again in slavery? Why? Why? Tell me why he'd bring up Jim Crow and slavery when, instead of talking about raping, murdering, slavery today, active slavery of children in the Middle East, according to the UN, by Islamofascists. Christian children, Yazidi children, captured off the streets, parents killed in front of them, women enslaved, raped, and the children sold into slavery with price tags on their toes, right as I speak with you. And this president chooses to attack this nation? And calls this nation those names? And there's no outrage? Oh, there's some reaction, but no outrage. Now, I want to remind you again, the National Prayer Breakfast, in which he committed this crime against Christianity, he spoke this crime against Christianity by proposing the big lie that is often used by the Islamists themselves. This president of ours, how could you not see what this is? Do you have to be a Christian to see the insult that he imposed upon this country? Why would he bring up the Crusade slavery at the prayer breakfast? Well, let me go back for a minute. The National Prayer Breakfast, as I understand it, was originally created by Christian members of Congress for a day of prayer. By Christian members of Congress. And now they invite a man in who repeats in front of these Christian people the insult that is being used by Osama bin Laden and his followers, citing the Crusades and calling them Crusaders, and then throwing in for good measure slavery, again going into the voice of Jeremiah Wright, slavery. You know, changing the voice to the preacher voice for 1 second. Did you hear the change in the voice? Play the sound and listen to the intonations of this man. If you want to, if you really want to get sick for the weekend, pay careful attention to what this man said yesterday.
And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ in our home country. Slavery. Okay. And Jim Crow, all too often, was justified in the name of Christ.
No, he takes the most incendiary possible statement he can think of and throws it into the face of Christians. And if you remember what happened over the last few years, remember George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin? Remember how he did throw fuel on that fire? When Obama spoke of being trailed while shopping in a department store? And hearing the locks on his car, on cars click as he walked down the street. You remember those stories? How about his former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, thundering goddamn America from the pulpit? How about after the shooting of the thug by Michael Brown? Michael Brown getting shot after he tried to kill a policeman, steal his gun. Why did Obama take the side of the thug? Would you say that we have a more perfect union under this man? Of course not. This is a country more divided than it's been in my entire lifetime. This man has done everything he can to tear the threads that were holding us together apart. And by the way, it's not limited to we the people. He has taken a Cold War that became a colder war. It was almost disappeared. Russians were our best friends. We were doing business with them. People were going back and forth to Russia. And all of a sudden, we wake up. And now they want a shooting war, a hot war with Russia. And there was Hillary Clinton not 6 months ago calling Putin Hitler. There's Biden today calling Putin bad names and saying we need to go to war for Ukraine, more or less. There's McCain, the warmonger, calling for weapons to Ukraine. Where is that same passion about war against radical Islam? Why are they suddenly turning their wrath on Russia? Why? Tell me what's a greater threat to your survival. Russia's incursions into Ukraine and Crimea? Or the Islamic takeover in the Middle East and elsewhere. They're now in 17 countries. They're on a blitzkrieg. They're hardly being stopped. Tell me what the greatest threat is to you as an American citizen. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, as the show draws to an end, and Twilight will soon be with us on the West Coast, I want to review for you today. I want to show you something. Here are the topics I touched on in one day. Today, Savage Nation. Therapy Kangaroo, Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying she won't be satisfied until all nine members of the Supreme Court are women. What's in the Constitution, what the Second Amendment means. Bruce Jenner, where I said I guess he couldn't wait to become a 70-year-old woman. Female genital mutilation without mentioning the word Muslim. Difference between L.A. and San Francisco. Gift had in L.A. Experimental novel I'm writing. Obama not helping Jordan by giving them what they need in drones. Brian Williams, he's really one and the same of all of them. Obama's offenses, new amnesty plan, government media complex. I quoted Cicero, the inept Congress, savage reading voice, lack of U.S. leadership, media sorority, war with Russia, idiot media delivering ISIS propaganda and Obama's incitements. That's in one show. You see, I believe that radio is underestimated in terms of the brain power that tunes in to hear radio, talk radio I'm talking about. I would think that the people who turn into talk radio want to hear ideas, so I try to give you ideas in my own way. And I do it every day. And this has been one heck of a week. It's been one heck of a week. I pray for the day when it isn't such a week like this. I pray for the day when we're liberated from an enemy within. I pray for the day when we have patriots running the country again. I pray for the day that when we have sanity ruling again. In academia, in medicine, in science, in art. I just keep praying for the day of liberation. I feel like the Frenchman of that famous picture from many a year ago. Perhaps you remember it. You remember when the Nazis conquered Paris and they marched in and rolled through the beneath the Arc de Triomphe? And there's an iconic photograph of a well-dressed middle-aged Frenchman with a tear in his eye as he watches the Nazis drive under the Arc de Triomphe. That's a picture that you should never forget. We have been conquered in this country. We may as well have been conquered by a foreign force for how this country is being run. I stand by those words because I would challenge you to prove to me that a foreign power that occupied this nation could do more harm to our Constitution and more harm to our institutions than this administration has done in these 6 years. It's almost hard to imagine. And the only reason that they haven't gone farther is because of the Second Amendment. You better bet your boots on that one. You better bet your boots on that one. The only reason he hasn't gone any farther and faster is because of the Second Amendment, which is, I predict, because I know the agenda of these people. I know it very well because they broadcast it for so long, it's easy to follow. Tell me what part of their agenda they haven't yet enacted. The Second Amendment. That's about the only thing left for them to do, which is to curtail your rights to bear arms. And that's why I opened today's show in a surprising manner, because I never do. I carry around the Declaration of Independence. I have a small copy. I told you that. But I don't ever talk about it because it's too pedantic and sounds like a history teacher with a tuna fish stain on his coat. I don't do it. But when I told you that Section 8 of the Bill of Rights clearly shows the difference between armies and militias, which proves ipso facto that we have the right to bear arms, I did so for a reason. Because your day will come, as sure as I'm sitting here. He ripped your religion apart yesterday, and you did nothing. I can guarantee you when you go to church this Sunday, your useless preacher will say nothing about an insult to Jesus Christ and your religion itself. I guarantee you it's in your hands to defend the honor of your country and your family. You're the one who's going to have to defend yourself. Because all is lost right now. There is no leadership whatsoever. The enemy is through the gates. I need a therapy kangaroo.
Savage.